Welcome to Fish Fry, my friends, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we're diving into the deep blue waters of EDA again and looking for pearls. Blue pearls, that is. My guest today is Scott Bloom from, yep, you guessed it, Blue Pearl Software. Scott is here to chat about RTL debugging with formal technology, multi-trace technology, and what it's like to crash land a plane and survive. Check it out. Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So for my audience who may not know, what does Blue Pearl Software do?
Blue Pearl analyzes your RTL, focusing on FPGA issues that we find problems with your design with the assumption that your design is wrong, unlike simulation or synthesis that assume your design is right and will give you hardware representing it for synthesis, or simulation assumes you're simulating the right things to find your issues. We look at everything in the design to find issues that you may think are correct and are not. We will analyze every state machine to make sure you don't have dead states. We find X-propagation issues as well as test issues, looking for your design for issues that you don't think are problems because you can't run simulation on every line of code that you have.
So you guys recently released a new RTL debugging environment that includes formal technology. So why include formal technology in this release?
For many years, we have been looking for new tools to put in our toolbox to find various corner cases in your design. Our primary tool that we use is we have a combination of ATPG plus symbolic simulation to find various issues in the design that are beyond the structural analysis that you can do. However, there are some checks that we determined in our research group that really needed a formal verification engine to analyze the results. The primary ones we're focusing on is behavioral issues that have to do with clock domain crossings or CDCs, where you know it's a clock domain crossing, but you really don't know for sure if it's a problem or not. A good example of that is multi-bit synchronization, where you know there's a crossing there, you know it's being synchronized, but what you don't know is does more than one bit change at a time. And using formal, we're actually able to prove that only one bit is changing at a time. It's that type of test case, and they're really the corner cases that you need formal for. Formal does have its downsides, and tools that over-rely on it get caught up in those downsides and have to spend a lot of time making sure that formal isn't causing problems in their analysis.
So this new release also includes multi-trace technology. So what does multi-trace bias as engineers?
One of the big things in debugging your design, it's not a matter of how quickly the tool analyzes and finds issues. Because the truth is that whether you compare us to any of the competition, or some people still use synthesis as their design checker. If it synthesizes, it must be good, which is a completely horrible way of checking your design. But if it takes 10 minutes, 5 minutes, here's what the issues are. The real time spent for engineers is finding the problems and then fixing the problems. What multi-trace technology does, it allows you to find all the data sources that are driving a particular issue in your net, or all the sinks for the particular output of an instance or a register. And by being able to quickly show and trace each one of those sources and sinks individually, it really allows a runtime of the user. He's spending less time debugging because he can find the solution and the problems that are causing the issues quicker.
So I also read that this release has an improved design browser and a live log file. So what kind of benefits can we see with those two additions?
Well, one of the things that was asked for a regular basis from our customers was this standalone, being able to have it in a separate window design browser. And what we did is, you know, one of the advantages in our architecture is we actually are able to load, and I have loaded, 50 million gate designs into our UI and be able to visualize and go through the whole design and search through it and use our search system to find objects in the design and visualize them in a design browser hierarchy or the schematic viewer. Now, of course, if you try and do a 50 million gate design flat in a schematic, that's going to take time. There's no one who does that well. We're looking at a forest. However, one of the things that we've done with the live log file is not just in the log file, but throughout the tool, whenever you have text that represents a design object, the tool will know that this text represents a design object, allowing you to quickly view that object in the schematic viewer, in context, in the design, or go look at it in the hierarchy browser, in the design browser, or to look at it in the search engine. You can also hover over it and see all the issues and messages that we have found associated with that object. So if you're looking through the log and you see something that might say, this net or pin is not driven, well, you can hover over it and do a right mouse click and say view in schematic and see in the context of the design why it's not connected, because it may not be connected because it was named improperly, because Verilog actually has that mistake, just randomly connect. But you can also hover over it and see all the other messages associated with the net, because sometimes the three or four messages for that net will tell you, hey, we found an issue where this net was constructed with an implied net from Verilog and not a truly named net, and that was the real cause of the disconnect. In fact, one of the Pico Java designs put out by The World had that issue. And by easily being able to just hover over the net, you can find the real problem as opposed to looking through multiple levels of messages and reports to find the root cause of the problem.
So, Scott, are there any other cool features we haven't talked about?
Well, beyond just the analysis of the design for issues, one of the things we also find is the false paths and the multi-cycle paths in your design. And we can actually help you synthesize quicker and place and route quicker, because many of the synthesis tools, when you tell them this guy is a false path, allowing them to ignore it will allow them to place and route it. We also have many ties to the FPGA vendors. We're the only analysis tool that has worked closely with the FPGA vendors, and we actually ship a set of libraries so that you don't have to have Vivado or Quartus installed on your system, so that we have the libraries prepackaged in.
So, Scott, Blue Pearl software is available to purchase via the embedded software store. Is that correct?
Correct. We're on the embedded software store, and we also have direct sales through bluepearl.com. You can contact our salespeople, or sales@bluepearl.com is the inbox for Blue Pearl.
All right, Scott, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, Scott, you're one of the only pilots that I know that has survived a plane crash. So tell my audience a little bit about that story.
Well, it's almost 11 years ago now. I was working for a company at the time that was based out of Chicago, and I would fly my personal plane from Portland to Seattle and then hop a commercial flight from Seattle to Chicago. And I stopped in Gig Harbor for fuel, and on the departure, my crankshaft and my engine cracked. I was in the clouds at the time. It was known as IMC, or Instrument Meteorological Conditions, and my crankshaft cracked. I wound up flying the plane to about 800 feet above the ground before I could see the ground. I was in the clouds the whole time, and when I broke out, there was a small little street there that I was able to successfully land on. Unfortunately, a nice lady didn't see me. She was at a four-way stop, and she didn't look up, and she pulled into the street about 20 feet before I landed, and I wound up rear-ending her. So not only was I in a plane crash, my plane crash rear-ended a car. There were no injuries, and everyone walked away. It was me and two of my employees, actually, and the lady in the car, and everyone walked away.
That is very, very impressive. Now, it was a Lexus you hit. Was that right?
Yes. So I will never own a Lexus.
I love it. I won't own a Lexus either for other reasons, but that's another story. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Scott. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
No problem. Have a great day.
Now, folks, it's time to talk a little bit about signal integrity. If your SI tool doesn't think about the effect of power, well, you're probably setting yourself up for some dangerous problems. Because as we all should know, ground bounce and other effects can cause problems that normal SI tools won't detect. In my most recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Top 10 Reasons Real Signal Integrity Engineers Demand Power-Aware SI Technology, I sit down and chat about some serious power-aware signal integrity analysis issues with Brad Griffin of Cadence Design Systems. You'll want to watch to see what your SI tool may be missing. You can check out this episode by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal, by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or by heading on over to the on-demand section of EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, then you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed via Podbean or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 21st, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.